If you can open up your Bibles to Genesis 6. Genesis 6. And we will start in verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he hath made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this morning, I wanted to look at grace. This is the first mention of grace in the Bible, and he's talking about Noah. And it just tells you automatically what grace is. First mention, and it truly is. It's unmerited favor. How do we know that? Because in verse 5, God's saying that man's imagination was wicked. His thoughts were evil. It wasn't because Noah was a perfect man. It wasn't that he didn't sin. It wasn't that he had bad thoughts. But still yet, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So grace gets a little confusing in the modern world. They like to confuse definitions and just use their own idea and all that. Take, for example, grace, right? We call people down south, they call it when you pray before a meal, grace. That's not the same thing. That grace, you know, that comes from a Latin word. And what that is just giving thanks to God. That doesn't mean unmerited favor. That doesn't mean this. And where they get that, that is a biblical principle, because where they get that idea from is, like Matthew 14, where the Lord takes, right? He takes the 5 loaves, he takes the 2 fishes, he gives thanks, he blesses them. And that's where that idea comes from, but it's still not what grace truly is. Grace is initiated by God. That's what grace is. It's initiated by God, entirely by him. And it represents his loving kindness, his long suffering. It represents him. It's a favor that we get that we don't deserve. So it kind of goes right along with mercy and all those other things. But grace is very important. It's part of salvation. That's why we get it, because he gives us his unmerited favor. The mercy was shown at Calvary on the cross. That's why there's an empty cross. That was the mercy part. Now, does God still give us mercy? Yes. But do we really need it? He gave us all the mercy we needed right there. And now he gives us grace. That's why Paul's always saying, grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because grace is important for us today in the church age to grow in knowledge of Christ and to treat people a certain way and to also represent who Christ is and give them that grace. It's unearned, it's free. It's not something that we can give back to God, but we can give to everyone here. We can give it back, right? Especially to the household of faith, right? Where you have opportunity. Give grace to those who are saved. Give grace to those that aren't saved. But why is grace so crucial? Well, according to Scripture, right, humanity can't save itself. We can't save itself. We can't do it by good works. We can't do it by legalism. It's not based on I'm better than the next guy, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And because of that faith, that's where we get the grace, right? For Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. lest any man should boast. We get saved and we automatically get God's grace. We automatically get that favor. We're one of his children. And you could think of it any way you want, but that's a pretty good deal. I mean, you know, we get salvation that we didn't deserve. We get his mercy. And then we get grace on top of it. I mean, think about that. The God who created everything, who holds us together, says, I'm going to give you unlimited favor. Unlimited favor. I mean, first you have to get saved to get that favor, but you get it. But because grace is free, right, we often forget that it was paid at a high, high price. It's one of the highest prices there are. And I'm not sure if Pastor Kenny mentioned it, but it's going through my head right now. Where I don't know if he said it or not, but it's like being in prison, right? And somebody comes over, and they open up the jail cell. That's your mercy. That's what was Calvary. The grace you get and the freedom you get is leaving that cell. But most people want to stay in the cell. They want to sit there because they're comfortable. And you're right. I mean, that sounds insane. But that's, I mean, who in prison, if somebody went over and opened the door, they would stay in there. But as Christians, that's kind of what we do. We stay there, and we stay there with grace because we don't want to impart it on others. I mean, everybody's guilty of that. I get caught up in that too. You know, sometimes you give grace to the more grace to other people, and then you're like, well, I don't really want to give them grace. Why do they deserve that grace? Well, they don't. We don't either. That's why it's unmerited favor. But we often treat grace, right, casually, like it's no big deal. We tend to use grace to ignore sin or ignore the moral boundaries, right? You see that a lot now. You see that in contemporary churches and all around. Well, you know, love is love, or this, I mean, just crazy nonsense. And don't judge them. Don't judge them. And what little people know, because they don't take the time to study or get into their Bible, is that we're not judging. We're just stating what the Bible says. A statement is not judging. A statement is a statement of fact. Conformity to what you know is real. But we do. We often use it casually and as an excuse for different things. But see, the Bible warns us not to do that. If you flip over to Romans 6, Romans 6:1, and it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And there's the grace, right? We're not supposed to abuse the grace. We're not supposed to make excuses for the way we live or make excuses for other people, the way they live. Grace is simply saying, hey, you know, I need to use this in my speech, in long-suffering, and how I deal with somebody. And it's not whether they deserve it or not. It's not whether we should use it in only certain situations or certain circumstances. It's what we should be doing all the time with grace. And We lack so much in there. One of the things that preparing for this that I learned, that he started showing me, right? Grace. You just need a little grace. How much grace does God show us? As somebody gets up behind the pulpit and do this, and there's other guys in the church that do it and stand up, right? How much preparation goes into a lesson or a message? We often sometimes spend so much time going through it and studying it and doing this and spending hours and days. And yet we have a set schedule to read the Bible. Just to personally know Him. That's what the Bible is, to read it to personally know Him. But we tend to spend so much time, and God has that grace with us. You know, and that's what He showed me. He was like, hey, you know, I know you read the Bible, and I know that, but look how much time you're spending in this, learning about grace. You know, you spent more time this week studying and doing this than reading My Word. Did I still read it? Yeah, but I spent more time in there. That's a lot of grace for God to give somebody. And He says, I'm still going to use you. I'm still going to put you up there. I'm still, even though you didn't take more time to learn about Me this week, you put more time in a lesson and a message. And we do that. Right? But God shows, we do that all the time. There's some people that may only read once a week, or I mean, that statistic that the one college came out blew my mind. Like, that only 82% of Christians open their Bible, born-again professing Christians only open their Bible on Sunday. But God still gives us that grace. Why? Because we're His. We're saved. But we so often tend to abuse that grace and not use it the way He intends us to use it. But grace is not of works. It's not conditional on your works. But it is conditional on one thing. To gain access to that grace, it's conditioned on your heart. You have to have the right heart motive. You have to go into it with the right heart, the purpose, like Daniel did. Hey, I need to know My God. I need to know what He expects of me. And I know we all tend to understand the basic concepts of what God wants us. There's those just the general rules that God has. We should be out witnessing. We should be proclaiming Him. We should be praising Him. But usually our heart gets away from that, from His grace. And what we should be doing is what is our heart? What are we supposed to do? We should be asking Him daily, not weekly, of what would You have me to do? Where would You like me to go? Who are You going to give me to show grace to? But it's conditioned on your heart. And that's, you know, it's through humility. How low are you willing to go to receive His grace, to receive more grace? He withholds grace, right, from righteous people, from proud people. Right? In Galatians 6:3, it says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something, who is nothing, he deceives himself. And that goes right, you know, that goes right along. Right with James. God giveth grace to the humble. See, it's that pride, it's that heart condition that gets us all the time, where we tend to slide and slip and decide that we're going to abuse grace. It's not a conscious, you know, thought where I'm going to actually do this, but that's how our heart leads us. Our heart gets so deceiving that we want what we want. And we sometimes abuse that grace of God. But it's a beautiful thing when you get it, right? Everybody wants grace, right? Everybody wants God's favor. They want it all the time. But yet we don't want to share that with others. We don't want to give it to others. We want it all for ourselves. But we can change our heart. How? Through Christ. Right? We can change that posture of our heart. How? Through bold, faithful prayer. We are encouraged to actively pursue grace. We're actively encouraged to do that. And how? We're supposed to do it with confidence. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace in a time of need." And again, that's a common verse we hear here. You know, Pastor Legault uses it all the time, Pastor Kenny. And again, if you look at this verse, where we may obtain mercy, why? Because again, I fully believe that. We got all the mercy we needed at Calvary. That was the only mercy he needed to show us. Now we're his. He doesn't need to give us any more. Why? Because mercy is not getting what you deserve. He already gave us what we didn't deserve. And that's eternal life. That's heaven. That's forgiveness. That's a relationship with him. The mercy does not have to extend. Does he still give it to us? Yeah. Does he still want to give it to us? Absolutely. But it depends on what we're doing and how we're looking at it. Depends on our heart. But he says you could come anytime you want. But come in confidence. Come knowing that you're a child of mine. Right? And then it says mercy and grace. Why? Because he'll give you more grace. We got the grace, but he'll give us more grace. Why? Because we're humbling ourselves and we need it. We need the grace to get through every day of our life. Right? Jesus showed us the mercy, the truth, grace, and we need this on every day. Amen. The problem comes from is we don't know how to apply it to our daily lives. Or we forget to apply it because it's not important. We always make God second in our lives, no matter what. We have a bad habit of doing that. And I know it's hard to think of that way, but if you're honest, you do. Well, my work's too crazy this week. I don't have enough time. Well, you know, I'm going on vacation, so, you know, doesn't matter if I go to church. And let me tell you, if you're one of those people, that's really a heart problem and you need to change that. We go on vacation and my kids are in church somewhere. And if they're not because I can't find one, then we're listening. Then we're listening to our home church because you need it. That's how you learn. Coming to church is how you learn to apply things to your life, how you learn how to live right. That's what the local church is for. Some people get that backwards, and we don't have enough grace for our pastors because they think the pastors are the ones that are supposed to be filling these seats. That's not their job. Their job is to feed the flock. Our job as people out there is to go out and witness because they've taught us how. Go out there and invite people to church and grow the church. That's our job. But yet we don't have grace, right? We don't use it for our pastors. Well, how come we don't have this ministry? How come we don't have that ministry? How come you're sitting there not bringing people in or volunteering going, hey. But then the first time we get a problem and we run to them in their office, well, can't you show me a little grace? Can't you just forgive me for this? Because with grace comes forgiveness. It's important to forgive everyone. Not just save people, but everyone. Because that's what shines to the other people, and they go, well, if they could forgive me, then, you know, well, you know, not to be a jerk, but you're, you know, like, well, their forgiveness really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's God's. Yep. And go, well, if they could forgive me, you know, then God has a way to get to me. And then there's that grace that comes right in. But grace, like faith, has to be applied every day. Why? Because it changes how you live. It changes how you endure certain situations and tribulations. It shows how you treat others. Right? Because everybody likes to talk. That's the contemporary churches now, is love, 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 love. You got to love them. You got to love them. You got to show them grace. You can't have love without grace. And that's what's going to help you treat people a little better. You know, Paul's the best example of that, right? In 2 Corinthians 12:9, well, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace is going to overcome a lot of things, right? Love covers a multitude of sins, okay? And grace, with that, covers your weakness. He says, don't worry. Don't worry. I'll give you the grace to get through this. I'll give you my favor, and I'll be there with you. You get through it. There's no need to worry and do all that. And see, but we frustrate that, right? We're told not to frustrate grace, but we do all the time. And how do we do that? We do it by fear, by worrying. In essence, that is prideful. Fear, worry, right? Financial needs, where am I? And you're sitting there and things are building up. That is control. That's pride. Because you're doing that because you can't control the situations. And God's going, I know you can't control the situations. That's why I gave you grace. This is going to help you get through it. This is why you need it. You know, it's I still have lost family. And some of the things that still come up, you know, like, I can't believe it. You were on your way headed for divorce. You were just a horrible person. And believe it or not, I still am horrible. I still make mistakes. Not perfect. I get it when my wife was pregnant and she had to still give birth to a dead child. And if it wasn't because of God's grace, we wouldn't have got through it. If it wasn't because of God's grace, we wouldn't be able to use that to try to reach other people. And yet, I still have lost family. I still. You know, and I remember that. You know, Pastor Legault did the funeral, and we both flat out went to him and said, no, you need to give the gospel. You need to give a clear-cut gospel. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Accepting God now. There's no excuse for not saying, hey, he's going to show me mercy, and then on top of that, he's going to give me the grace to get through the rest of my life. He's going to give me an abundant life. An abundant life has to do with grace. It has to do with everything we do. In Colossians it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's how it comes into applying it in everyday life. How do you know? Do you know how to answer every man? Are you answering it with the hope in Christ? Are you answering it in a gentle, kind manner? Or are we getting upset? And I get it. It does get upset. But sometimes I truly believe that when we're witnesses to somebody and we get upset, it's not because we're upset that they're going to go to hell and they're not going to accept Christ. It's because you're not listening to me. You don't understand. I'm right. Anytime we put I in front of anything, we're already in the wrong. Anytime. Because it's not about us, it's about Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be pointing at. And I get it. It gets frustrating. Again, I have lost family. And it gets frustrating to show them grace, to show them any kind of fruit of the Spirit as well. I mean, it really is. But that's our job. That's what we need to do. The more we do it, it won't get easier, but it'll still show us that we still need it. I mean, I would love to say that. I would love to say that showing other people grace is the easiest thing in the world, and that it gets easier as you grow in Christ, but it's not. Right? I think that's why we put that little end on it, or, you know, with, you know, love, where we go, hey, you know, well, we don't have to like them, but we got to love them. I think that's where it kind of comes from, so we can get a little excuse for grace. And go, well, you know, I do love them, so, you know, not today, though. You know, not today I'm going to show them grace, but I've got to, you know. Because it's hard. It really is. It's some of our problem with grace is we start to turn it into a work. We turn it into a work. By grace ye are saved. Through faith. What? What's it say? It's a gift. Again, another gift. Grace is a gift. It's not based on works then. But so often we do that. We make it into a work. There is no grace to grow. There is no grace. Now, this is the funny thing, because you hear it out there, you click on the internet, you hear it, and it makes good preaching, but doctrinally it's wrong. Where it's like, well, if they loved the Lord, if they were truly saved, they would have changed by now. Changed what? What are you looking at? Makes for great preaching to save people, because we understand that. But is it doctrinally true? What are you looking at? What do you know? Did you see anything change? Just because you didn't see anything doesn't mean something didn't. People struggle with things, which is why we have a problem with grace, because people will struggle with who they are in Christ, or the inability to just stop it and make the choice that it tells you in the Bible. Doesn't mean they're lost. Doesn't mean they haven't changed. Doesn't mean, but we'd say that. I've said things like that. And where's the grace in that? Where's the grace in letting somebody grow the way they should grow? Everybody goes at a different pace, and everybody is. God just blessed me with, I was one of those people when I got saved. You know, it wasn't, you know, it took a little time. It took probably, you know, quicker than most, but it took, you know, probably 3 months before it was like, nope, everything's gone. You know, it some people it takes longer. Some people it takes a year, 2 years. Like, no, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't do that. But instead of looking at what they're doing when they first get saved and going, hey, are they in the Word? Because that's a good indication of if you're saved. Like newborn babes, you desire the milk. You desire His Word. We often forget about the parable of the sower, which is another one that people like to preach, and it makes good preaching. But there's some people that can't get over the cares of the world. They get choked out. And if we don't have the grace enough to stand there and teach them and to show them, how are they going to grow? Where was it? Is it Galatians? Thinking about that. Galatians 6:3. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Right, that's talking about pride. That's talking about that. That comes from Galatians 6. What is the context of that chapter? Bearing one another's burdens. Having a burden that you have to carry yourself. If you have no grace, you're not going to be able to carry anyone's burden. If you have no grace, you're not going to be able to carry your own burdens. You're going to be stuck. Stuck in a cycle. And that's what happens so many times with Christians, because we forget about that. We forget about grace. It's just one of those things. Well, I'm saved. God loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. Where's the grace in that? How much are you getting out of your Bible? Because if you're just reading the read, if you're just reading it like it's a textbook, you're not going to get much out of it. And again, that's where the Lord hit me. It's like you're doing all this studying. But hey, you know what? And it wasn't because I wasn't reading. It was, hey, if you could spend all this time doing this, why don't you spend a little more time doing that, getting to know me? Because if you do that, I can give you more grace. Why? Because you're being humble. You're setting aside everything else and saying, okay, that doesn't matter. I need to know you more. You know, talking about the speech, you know, it always, right? Always with grace, seasoned with salt. What was it? Just, I think it was like 2 months ago. You know, we went to the mall, and, you know, we stopped at Dave and Buster's so the kids could play some video games and stuff like that. We got something to eat. And sitting there, and this is where the posture of your heart has to be. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to the mall. I got some tracks. I got some, you know, hey. Heart's right. Go before the throne. You're praying. You're doing everything, and you're trying to get your heart right to do it. And we go in there. We sit down to eat. We order everything, and everybody's food comes out but mine. So I'm waiting, and I just order chicken wings because, you know, I like chicken wings. So I'm waiting, and finally they come out, and I'm getting ready. And the waitress comes over. She's refilling our drinks. She comes over, and boom, the glass falls right on the chicken wings, and I have most of the water in my lap. All down my pants. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And I'm just sitting there going, okay. All right. All right, Lord, it's no big deal. And, you know, but, I mean, the chicken wings are ruined. They're drenched. I'm drenched. And she's apologizing. I'm like, that's okay. That was grace. And it didn't come from me. Why? Because I can't do it without Christ. It's got to be initiated. So all this leads up to the whole point that I'm waiting to witnessing to her, and she never comes back. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what the point of this is, Lord. You know? So, but I take a track, put it down, and right on the receipt, because she didn't come back, I write right on the seat, I said, everybody has bad days. Don't have a bad eternity. And left it in the track, left it with a tip. And but that's what I'm saying. Your speech should be that way. It should be, oh, what's wrong with you? Why'd you spit? You know, you never know what opportunity is going to come out of it because you're showing a little grace. Because you want to do what's right by God. And it's not always easy to do right by God. You know, I remember the one message that Donovan did. It's easy. It's easy to drink. It's easy to go out and do what the world does. It's hard being a Christian. It's hard doing what's right. And it is. And we see it more and more each day. Everybody wants to do something different and get a little bit out of whack and just do what the world does. But we need to show the grace while we're doing it. We need to have that grace in our hearts. We need to actively pursue it. I don't know of anyone that doesn't need grace. And again, like I said, we always want it. And we're always wanting God to give us more. And I'll always go through with everything. But we just don't want to give it to the other person. We don't want to show them a little time. We don't want to put down our pride, put a little humility in our lives to say, okay, I know they're a problem, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with smiling. You know, honestly, how much would it take just to smile at somebody? Every Christian should be smiling at somebody. I mean, you get to go to heaven. I mean, seriously, you get to go to heaven. If that ain't something to smile about, I don't know what is. But it gets hard. We frustrate that grace. We try to put works to it and put ourselves above everything. But it's not. It's from God. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have God, you don't get it. Fruit of the Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again. You have to be saved to have the fruit of the Spirit. You have to be saved to get God's grace. You have to be saved to get that gift. But the question comes is, what are we going to do with this grace? Are we going to keep it to ourselves? Are we not? That's a whole other parable, right? The talents. Are you going to keep it to yourself? Are you going to bury it? Are you going to use it? Are you going to take your faith, go out, and say, hey, because it does. That's why we get it. Grace through faith, we get it because of our faith. So if you're not actively pursuing your faith, you're not going to really have much grace. Because you have to have faith that God says what he says and says he's going to give me more grace. If I go to him now, to the throne of grace, I have grace already, but he's going to give me more. He's going to tell me that it's okay. It's okay to be nice. You know, it's okay to be angry, but be nice. A lot of the things I say over there to the guys in the addiction program is addicts know they're doing wrong. You don't need to point it out. They know what they're doing. You know what they're doing. You don't need to beat them over the head with it. But you still have to give them the truth. You still have to give them, right? Use a little grace and give them the truth. Look, if you don't change, nothing's going to change. If you keep doing what you're doing, nothing can change. Same thing with grace. If you don't want to change how you talk to people, if you don't want to accept that you did nothing to get God's favor for the rest of your human life, then why would you give it to somebody else? Why would you want to say, hey, come over here. Let me explain something to you, right? I would have been in big trouble, and that's the one thing I could say about this church. I would have been in big trouble when I first got saved if nobody here gave me the grace to grow. I would have been in big trouble. And again, as we talked, it's not to ignore sin. It's not to make excuses. It's to let them grow. Right? And that's the point. Sometimes you got to get to the point of people, hey, it's been 3 years, it's been 4 years. You're still getting mad and treating people like this. What's the problem? And again, I think it simply comes down to that all people either we like to abuse the grace, because we don't fully understand who we are in Christ, or it's just the inability and choice of not to make the next step, not to want to grow. Father, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I pray you be with Brother Thomas as he gives the message coming up, Lord. And we just do thank you for all your grace, Lord, your mercy, your love. With everything, it always comes, Lord. Love doesn't come without accountability. Nothing does, Lord. And we just pray you that you keep us accountable, Lord, that you give us second, third, fourth, and fifth chances, Lord. That's how mighty your grace is, Lord. And we just do thank you for that. And we do thank you just for another day, Lord, where we can praise you and give people an opportunity to come to you, Lord. We pray that you come back soon. Take us home, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.